Thank you for being here this evening. Special gratitude to our exalted guests, my god sisters, god brothers, residents of Puri, Rukmini Devi, Mandakini Devi, Chandramali Swami Maharaj, Madhavananda Prabhu, Anagovinda Prabhu. Mataji's name? Surabhi Devi. And to each and every one of you, there are many hotels and restaurants in Jagannath Puri. Because it has become a place of tourism within Odisha as well as India. Sometimes that happens in holy places. But our beloved acharyas, in whatever way this world changes, are always helping us to keep our focus on the essence. Saragrahi, one who seeks the essence. That is the true purpose of Dharma, of religion, and of this human form of life. Endless distractions, diversions, interpretations that are born of the false ego and which lead us to deeper bondage under the influence of the false ego. But the essence of Dharma is to be free from the false ego, to transcend. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving his comprehensive instructions to Sri Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi, he established this incredible narration of teachings on a simple principle. Jivara Swarupoya Krishnera Nitya Das, that we are eternally servants of Krishna. Nitya means beyond birth and death. It's not even a sloka, it's just a line. It's a sloka, but it's only one line. But it encapsulates so much. It means we're not this body, because the body is not eternal. We're not this mind, because the mind is ever flickering. And if we're not this body and we're not this mind, it means nothing of this world belongs to me, because this isn't me. The body is inevitably subject to old age, disease, and death, and rebirth. The idea that we are this body inevitably leads us to deeper bondage. of identifying with the particular conceptions of this body. Our race, the color of our skin, our sex, our nationality, our religion, our varna, our ashram, our happiness or distress or pleasure or pain, our anxieties, they're all pertaining to this body and mind. The idea that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna completely transcends. It liberates us from all of these misconceptions. Which are the cause of all miseries, individually and collectively. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that the soul cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon, cannot be burned by fire, cannot be moistened by water. Nahanyati hanyamane sarire, it's beyond death. And the nature of the soul, we're not, the servant means we're not enjoyers. It means our constitutional happiness is being enjoyed. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. If the root of a tree is happy, then all the leaves and flowers and twigs will be happy. If the root of a tree is not happy, no other part of the tree can be in a healthy condition. Janmadya Shayataha. Krishna is the root of everything. The path of bhakti is based on this simple principle that our eternal constitutional nature is we're servants of Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabo noi sravanadi sudhichiti koriya yudhoi. And the spiritual platform of service is an expression of love, unconditional, unmotivated love. That's everyone's nature, because every living being is part of Krishna. As part of Krishna, we're of the same substance as Krishna. Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge. Knowledge is, who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? What is my relationship with all other living beings while in this world? What is my relationship with this material energy? That's knowledge. And Ananda. Ananda is Krishna's limitless love for every living being. And because we are part of Krishna, we have, in our own way, limitless love for Krishna and for each other. Because every living being is part of Krishna. This is one of the preeminent messages that resounds again and again through the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That the test of a person who's spiritually advanced is they're able to see that the Paramatma Krishna is in the heart of every living being. And every living being seated beside the Paramatma is a child of Krishna, a part of Krishna, with the potential to love Krishna. That's the only reality. Everything else is a distraction. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, is truth. Krishna has various energies, various incarnations, and this material existence is Krishna's property. It is not an illusion. Everything coming from Krishna is to be seen as Krishna's energy. Therefore, everything within this world has value to the extent it reminds us of Krishna, and the subsequent response to such a reminder is we utilize it in Krishna's service. But when we forget that we're eternal servants of Krishna, we try to find happiness through exploiting the resources of material nature and trying to exploit each other, maybe in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, but still, we're in a separated condition. So we see how people can use scriptures, use rituals, use traditions as a utility for the purpose of satisfying our ahankar, our false egos. And people even come to holy places to enjoy their senses and to satisfy their false egos. So the acharyas, the Vaishnavas, they are trying to keep human society in connection with the essence. Yesterday we very briefly discussed Lord Chaitanya's journey to Jagannath Puri. He wasn't coming here to see the beautiful palm trees. He was coming here to surrender his heart to Lord Jagannath. And what was his anticipation, his enthusiasm, his yearning, his longing? He was coming to Puri to surrender his heart to Krishna. That's the essence. That is how our beloved Acharya Srila Prabhupada taught us. When we go to a temple, we're not going to prove anything about ourselves to others. We're going to surrender our hearts to Krishna. When we meet a devotee, we're going to share this gift together of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, by chanting about Krishna, by serving Krishna together. We're inspiring one another to surrender to Krishna. When we speak about surrender, we mean to love Krishna, to awaken love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just about 25 years old when he arrived in Puri. When he saw the flag on top of Jagannath's temple in Kamalapur, it is described that he was singing a beautiful verse, how he was seeing Krishna, Bal Gopal, playing his flute in the flag in the dome of Jagannath, calling him. From that place, according to the Shastra, it takes about 1.5 hours to walk. But Lord Chaitanya, in his enthusiasm, he was in such a state of spiritual consciousness, mahabhav, that every step or two he was offering his dandavat obeisances. Every step or two he was becoming paralyzed and couldn't move. It appeared to Lord Chaitanya like it was thousands and thousands of miles. That was his eagerness. But it took Lord Chaitanya about 9 hours to get here. And when finally he came to Singhadwaram, entered Jagannath's temple, he first saw the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. Madhavananda Prabhu, who's a resident here of Jagannath Puri, he reminded me yesterday how Srila Prabhupada taught in spiritual matters we learn not to see through our eyes, but see through our ears. We understand things not by our material vision, but by transcendental knowledge of what we hear. When we see Lord Jagannath, what do we see? We're seeing, but we're not seeing. Jagannath is there. Raymandana Turita Bhakti Vilochanena. Unless our eyes are anointed with love, we cannot see. Because the Lord is purely transcendental spiritual. Cannot be seen with material eyes. But when we have faith, and that faith comes through hearing, when we have faith in the words of self-realized personalities, in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, through the lens of that knowledge,
we see.
Srila Haridas Thakur, when he came to Puri, he felt himself so fallen and respecting certain conventional traditions. He never ever attempted or even desired to go into the temple of Jagannath because he felt that that was something very exalted he was not worthy of. But he would see the chakra on top of Jagannath's temple. And truly, Lord Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra were fully manifesting their eternal, transcendental forms within Haridas Thakur's heart when he gazed upon that chakra. We go in the temple and we start saying, we may think, we may get affected by so many of the material situations. There may be insects crawling around, or it may be too crowded, or it may be too hot. Or Jagannath somehow we just don't feel. But here's a devotee who's sitting under a bakula tree outside the temple, and he's fully seeing Jagannath in his transcendental threefold bending forms by looking at the chakra on the temple. Because we can only see Krishna when Krishna reveals himself to us. We can only feel Krishna when Krishna reveals himself to us.
Adosha tatata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya.
And the beginning of that process is faith. In the association of devotees, that faith awakens. By following the principles given by our spiritual masters, that faith is nourished. There has never been anything more valuable in any of our lives than that little bit of faith that's in our hearts. Because if we invest carefully in that faith, ultimate liberation, ultimate happiness, and pure love is forever ours. Money, health, fame, skills. It's worthless. It's worthless unless it's in harmony with that faith that is given to us in the association of Vaishnavas. And if we truly have faith, if our faith is real, that faith will humble us. It will not make us proud. Corrupted faith could make us proud. But true faith, Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. I'm his eternal servant. Servant of the servant of the servant is the spirit of servant. As we have faith in how great Krishna is, as we have faith in the character of the great Vaishnavas throughout history, our lives are gradually molded in that spirit of devotion. The songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, some people can sing them really nicely to beautiful ragas. Which is very nice. But what is the message of those songs? Because they're understanding the greatness of God and the greatness of sadhu satsang. They're always feeling themselves humble and helpless, taking shelter. And we are cultivating faith so that our consciousness is always streaming in that direction. Because that's the essence. Lord Chaitanya came through the doors of Jagannath Mandir and he saw Jagannath. He saw Krishna. Krishna is seeing Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath are one and the same person. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shaktirasma. I'm sorry, Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidruso Vanayaiva. Lord Jagannath wanted to taste the sweetness of Radha's love. So came in the mood of Shri Radharani. That's the very essence of the internal purpose of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. But out of his causeless mercy, his karuna, his compassion, he's exhibiting the qualities of his own devotee. He's chanting his own holy names. He's discussing his own pastimes and glories. He's coming to have darshan of himself. None of us could ever do that. But Lord Chaitanya is teaching us. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his first vision personally of Jagannath, he roars uncontrollably. Tears were not flowing, they were shooting from his lotus eyes in all directions simultaneously. In his heart, he wanted to embrace the Lord. And he leaped toward Lord Jagannath and fell into a state where there was no external consciousness. His longing to be with Krishna throughout that journey to Bhuvaneshwar and then to Puri, it culminated, it came to his crescendo where he entered into a completely unconscious state. But the way he did it was so dramatic. When he made that roar, everyone in the temple was astounded. When they saw the symptoms of ecstasy on his body, no one had ever seen them before. He fell to the ground. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, by the arrangement of Lord Jagannath, happened to be having darshan at that moment. And he saw the guards. I don't know what it's like in the temple now, but from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, in those days, they describe the guards were gigantic personalities. Can I give an example? A little later. Nityananda Prabhu. He saw Lord Jagannath. And when he saw Balaram, who's none different than himself, he rushed to embrace Balaram. But he actually jumped right on the altar to embrace him. And this guard saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu doing that and grabbed Nityananda Prabhu by the hand. And as soon as he touched Nityananda Prabhu's hand, he flew back about 7 feet. And meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu embraced Balaram. And then Nityananda Prabhu took the garland off Balaram's neck and put it on his own neck. And the guard was helpless. There was nothing he could do. He was astounded. The guard told some of his companions, he said, "I have the strength that even the most heroic, powerful elephant, I can hold them still. But I just touched his hand. And I was jolted back. Who is this person?" Balaram means one who enjoys spiritual strength. So he understood that Nityananda Prabhu, he was Balaram. But he felt quite ashamed because he actually was going to, his plan was to grab Nityananda Prabhu's hand and pull him away and punish him. "How dare you go on the altar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" So afterward, he went to Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda smiled. He forgave him. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was so humble to him, he embraced him and gave him full mercy. So here is one of these kinds of guards. He's standing with a stick. Because what Lord Chaitanya was doing was forbidden in the temple. And even these days, we know how people can get punished by doing something forbidden in the temple. He was ordering him to get up, and he was about to beat him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya ran over to that place because he saw that these were symptoms of ecstatic love. This was an exalted personality who was the most beautiful person he had ever seen. His heart was so deeply attracted to Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't know why. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the spiritual mentor of the king, Prataparudra. He was extremely influential and powerful here in Puri. If it was anyone else, the guard may not have listened. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, do not touch him. And he tried to revive him for a long time, but he couldn't revive him. Then an offering was going to be made to Lord Jagannath. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked the guard and several other guards to help him to carry Lord Chaitanya to his home. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was laid down in a very, very sanctified special part of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home, he was analyzing, according to scriptures. And he concluded that this person is in an ecstatic trance of love for Krishna. There was no breath, there was no heartbeat that could be detected, no pulse. There was no signs of life. But through his investigation, he understood he was in a state of samadhi. And he was using all the Vedic formulas to get him out of this samadhi. But nothing worked. Meanwhile, at the Singhadwaram, at the main gate of the temple, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda Dat arrived, eager to meet Lord Chaitanya. When they arrived at the gate, they heard the local people discussing how this Swami came. And he fell unconscious, running to embrace Jagannath. And ultimately he was brought to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The devotees, immediately upon hearing this, they knew it was Lord Chaitanya. And just at that moment, Gopinathacharya arrived at the Singhadwaram. Gopinathacharya was originally from Navadvip. He happens to be the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he knew Mukunda Dat very well. So Mukunda Dat bowed down and took dust from Gopinathacharya's feet. Gopinathacharya embraced him. And then Gopinathacharya took the dust and bowed down from Nityananda Prabhu's feet. And Nityananda Prabhu embraced him. And Gopinathacharya immediately asked, where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And they said, we just found out that he's at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We want to go there. Gopinathacharya said, I know exactly where to go. Please come. Imagine this. Because they were all such great devotees. They were all so eager to see Lord Jagannath. And they were right at the front door of Jagannath. But they decided, we'll come back later. They want to be with Lord Chaitanya. When they arrived, Lord Chaitanya was laying down. They were so happy to see the beautiful form of Gauranga. But at the same time, they were feeling very, very concerned because there were no signs of life in his body. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he told Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Damodaran, Jagadananda, that please go and have darshan of Lord Jagannath. But don't do like Lord Chaitanya has done. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya called for his son, whose name was Chandan Acharya, and said, you bring them for the darshan of Jagannath. And then come right back here. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was standing before Jagannath Dev, the devotees had to hold him up. He was in such a state of divine love. They came back to Sarvabhauma's house and loudly they had kirtan of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya didn't move. They continued that kirtan at ever increasing intensity for 9 hours, according to Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness and said, Hari Bol. Please. Thank you. Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda Prabhu, what happened? And Nityananda Prabhu gave him a report. You were running. Lord Chaitanya said, all I know is I saw Lord Jagannath and I ran to embrace him and then everything stopped. What am I doing here? When he came to consciousness, he was introduced to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In Sarvabhauma, he was a very, very exalted scholar. He asked Gopinathacharya, can you tell me something of the background of this great sannyasi? And he said, he's from Navadvip. Immediately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's heart became very happy because he was also from Navadvip. His father's name was Jagannath Mishra. And on his mother's side, Sachi Devi, his grandfather was Nilambar Chakravarti. This made Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya even more happy. You see, intimacy comes when there's a feeling of a personal relationship. He said, my father, Maheshwar Visharada, he was classmates with Nilambar Chakravarti. And my father had very, very high respect for both Nilambar Chakravarti and Jagannath Mishra. Maheshwar Visharada had 2 sons, Madhusudan Vachaspati and Vasudev Sarvabhauma. They resided in Navadvip. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya grew up from his earliest childhood feeling very, very high respect and affection for Lord Chaitanya's father and grandfather. In those days, scholarship was the sport of India. I don't think anyone cared anything for cricket or football. Scholarship, logic. There are 6 schools of philosophy according to the Vedic system, traditional systems of India. And to master these schools was the qualification of true scholarship. So Navadvip had masters of the highest order of 5 of the 6 schools of traditional Indian philosophy. But Nyaya, only Mithila had the scripture. So only the scholars of Mithila could teach Nyaya authoritatively at that time. So this was the very blatant disqualification of Navadvip. It was superior to all others except for this, until Vasudev Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When he was young, he went to Mithila. And he's an incarnation of Brihaspati. So he's very intelligent. He studied the Nyaya Shastra there, and within a very short time, he perfectly memorized every syllable of every word of every sloka of every chapter of the entire scripture. Then he came back to Navadvip and he wrote it all down and he taught it in a way that was superior to any others. And through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the island of Vidyanagar in Navadvip, it became the supreme seat of learning for all of India. And he was such a great scholar that the king of Odisha, Prataparudra Maharaj, invited him to come to be the leading spiritual teacher of Puri. And Nimai Pandit, he was a young child. He became a student of Gangadas Pandit, who was a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So there were so many beautiful, sweet connections there. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was feeling so much affection for this sannyasi. He felt, he was the age of Lord Chaitanya's father, so he felt this parental concern. But because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though he was much older, he was a grihastha, out of tradition and etiquette, he touched the feet and bowed down before Lord Chaitanya. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, please go to take your bath in the ocean and then go for darshan of Jagannath, but don't go so close to Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, I will obey whatever you speak. He said, from this day on, I will stay just outside of the temple and I will take my darshan of Jagannath on the side of the Garuda Stamba. Lord Chaitanya did this to honor Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wish. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, then come back to my house for prasad. So Mahaprabhu took his bath at darshan of Jagannath. and then came back to the house of Sarvabhauma Padacharya. Afterwards, Gopinathacharya and Mukunda Dutt, they came to meet Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma asked, "Tell me about his previous life before he took sannyas." And from what sampradaya did he take sannyas? They said, he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, that's a second class sannyas sampradaya. I can elevate him to a first class sannyas sampradaya. I will perform all the rituals. Gopinathacharya and Mukunda Dutt were very disturbed by this. They said, who are you to elevate Sri Chaitanya? And he started explaining, he's only 25 years old. He's so beautiful. How is he going to maintain his sannyas? It's very difficult. Even Madhavendra Puri, who was his param guru, he took sannyas when he was an elder man. To take sannyas when you're so young and he's so attractive. Maya's very strong. Unless I teach him very, very authentically the Vedanta and elevate him to a very strong line of sannyas, how will he survive? Gopinathacharya said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's Krishna. He doesn't need you to elevate him or to protect him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, when you're speaking to me and all of my students, you have to speak with the authority of Shastra. This is not just sentiment. Where in the Shastra is there evidence that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In fact, the Shastra tells that the Lord has a name, Triyuga, which means he only appears in three ages. He does not appear in the Kali Yuga. Gopinathacharya was getting very upset. He said, you do not understand. You think you have an idea because you're simply a mental speculator. You have no true realization. Triyuga means that the Lord appears as a Leela avatar in three yugas, but not in Kali Yuga. But there's another type of avatar, the Yuga avatar. And in every age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as a Yuga avatar. And then he began to cite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Mahabharata, from Upanishads. But Sarvabhauma and his students, they could not accept. Gopinathacharya, he told his brother-in-law, he said, through your word jugglery, speculation, and logic, you could never understand. Even the Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, was right in your house, sitting right in front of you. You cannot recognize him. Because you have no devotion. Just like
If a good seed falls on barren, dry land, nothing happens. So your heart, your mind is like barren, dry land. If even one particle of a drop of the mercy of the Lord enters your heart, only then can you understand who He is. And you have not even received that single drop of mercy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Gopinath, you're my brother-in-law. We're just having a friendly conversation. Why are you becoming so upset with me? And the conclusion was, Gopinath Acharya, he just said, because you have not received his mercy, you cannot understand anything. Your heart is like a dry rice cake. And Sarvabhauma was such a cultured person. He concluded the discussion by saying, please bring Sri Chaitanya to my home for prasad. So they went back to Lord Chaitanya to invite him. And they told Lord Chaitanya about the argument. Lord Chaitanya said, why are you criticizing him? Why are you speaking negatively toward him? He cares about me. He's trying to protect me like a parent to a child. He has such affection for me. Why are you criticizing him? So Lord Chaitanya went to the house. And while the devotees were so negative towards Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya, from his heart of heart, he offered his sincerest obeisances to Sarvabhauma and said that, I consider you to be my guru. I'm very young and I'm very inexperienced. I'm taking shelter of you. Please protect me and teach me Vedanta. The devotees are watching this. Hari Bol. Sri Bhangananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Thank you for coming. The next day, Sarvabhauma and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath's temple together. After the darshan of Jagannath Dev, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya arranged a nice seat for Lord Chaitanya to sit on, and he sat below him on the floor. Lord Chaitanya considered Sarvabhauma now his guru. Lord Chaitanya was seeking shelter and asking for instruction. But Sarvabhauma, his culture, his etiquette, was of such character. Because you're a sannyasi and I'm a grihastha, it is my duty to sit below you. And when Lord Chaitanya appealed with such respect and such humility to learn the scriptures from Sarvabhauma, Sarvabhauma spoke for 7 days. Lord Chaitanya sat attentively listening, but didn't say a word. Seven days,
all day, every day. He was listening to Mayavad philosophy. There's no record that he ever fell asleep. There's no record that he showed any emotions. He just listened. At the end of those 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, I've been speaking for all these 7 days and you're listening, but you haven't said anything. I don't know if you've understood it or not understood it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, he said, I am a fool. It is very difficult for me to understand all these subjects. I'm just a fool. My guru called me a fool. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, all right, I accept if you say you're a fool, but why didn't you ask any questions then? Why didn't you ask for some clarification? And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, the Vedanta, Lord Chaitanya said he was a fool in regard to all of what Sarvabhauma was saying. He couldn't understand it. He said, but Vedanta? He said, I understand all the sutras. They're as clear as the sun at midday. But your interpretations were like a dark cloud that completely obscured all the true meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. Now here's the guru of the king. He's considered the topmost scholar in all of India. He's Brihaspati. So many of the greatest pundits and sannyasis from all over the country were standing in line to take lessons from Sarvabhauma. And here is Mahaprabhu telling him this. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, then you give a better interpretation. And Lord Chaitanya did. He explained that Vyasadeva, he extracted the essence of all the Upanishads and all the Vedas in the Vedanta Sutra. But we must understand it in a direct way. You and the commentary of Shankaracharya that you are using are giving all of these speculative, indirect interpretations. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved point by point, sutra by sutra, how everything was aimed at understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, the Parabrahman, was both impersonal and personal. But the source of the impersonal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And prema, bhakti, love, which is the ultimate realization of all the Vedas, is only possible by establishing our relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. He explained the principles of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. To establish our relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth, to engage in our
true occupational duties in the service of the Absolute Truth and to realize the ultimate perfection of love for Krishna. It's a very profound and deep subject which is hard to discuss with 7,000 people. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing this parashya shakti vivadaiva shruyate, that the Absolute Truth has multifarious potencies. This material world is the external energy of the Lord. The Lord Himself and all of His incarnations and expansions are the internal spiritual potency of the Lord. And the jiva, the spirit souls, are the marginal energy of the Lord. He revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the principles of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We are inconceivably simultaneously one with Krishna and different from Krishna.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.